Let's go.
Okay.
We're an open wire.
Ready in Chamesh, Arba, Shalosh, Shtaim. Yeah! Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast? With Christina B.
Do you love it?
We need to have the horn here. We'd be here. We'd have that.
Air horns are the worst.
Oh, yeah.
You worked in radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's on my mind because it was on Killing Eve last night. Villanelle had one of those.
I have to catch up.
Oh.
I'm at the beginning of season 3.
Oh, you got a ways to go.
Yeah. I love that show. You got me hooked on it.
Yeah.
And now I'm in it, man.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff goes down in season 3.
Oh, I can't wait. So with me today is the fantastic Dr. Drew. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. A pleasure.
We love you so much.
I told you, and I will say it here in front of God and everybody, that when we gather together in this safe space, it's my only reprieve from the craziness of out there.
I know.
And how bad that feels out there, and how good it feels in here.
But that's a good thing. We've all found each other, and we have a great crew, and people listening to this show, too. You're a part of our crew, so good.
Yes, Jeans.
Yes, Jeans, mommies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So first of all, I want to thank women. You guys emailed me in some fantastic PMS recipes because I was eating a Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookies last week. Bad idea.
Yeah,
I ate like 5 at once. Apparently peanut butter, bananas, and chocolate chips do the job. You just mash them together.
Carbohydrates are the enemy, everybody. They are the enemy.
They
really are. You got to be very careful, especially in the time of COVID, because seed oils and carbohydrates may increase your risk of the complications of the COVID.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. So stay with olive oil, tallow, beef oil, beef fat, and butter.
Okay. Mm. I'm doing that. Mm. What about coconut oil?
Coconut's okay.
Okay.
But those 3 are the easy ones that, you know, easy to use and available. And
I hear the vitamin D deficiency.
Vitamin D there's an association there. So take your vitamin D, but somewhere between 5 and 10,000 units a day. Hard to get vitamin D levels up. It's not as easy as you think, but still take that supplement.
Because I do go out in the sun. I'm very into the sun. I feel like I have a deficiency. My doctor just prescribed me some. And
you're taking them once a week or the once a day?
Once a week.
That's the more pharmaceutical level. You know, that's you will get an elevation of your vitamin D.
Let me ask you this, Drew. Huh? How do I manage my anxiety? I do my 10 milligrams of Lexapro a day. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I want to take more pills and that stuff. Alcohol is going to make me fat. Weed is going to make me dumb.
And fat.
Mm-hmm. What do I do?
Run.
Oh, boring.
Boring. Exercise, sleep right, all that good stuff. That's it. I know. But sunlight is a key ingredient.
Sunshine is
helpful.
Makes
yeah, you've
you
got
happy.
That backyard there. You can take kids out there and get some sunshine.
I'll do that. Speaking of backyard. Oh, so thank you that ladies. Also, thank you for your underwear suggestions. I'm always looking for good mom underwear. Let me tell you what I love. Cotton, breathable. Let your vagina breathe, as my mother used to say.
Vagina.
You don't want rayon on your vagina, right? Because you get yeasties.
Thank you, Mom.
Isn't that right?
Yes, that's true.
You need cotton, full flavors.
Not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
And I don't believe in thongs because I believe it pushes the bacteria from your rectum to your vagina.
Oh, interesting. It's just like a little conduit. Very nice. I like
Isn't
that.
Isn't it, though?
Can just crawl right down that wire. It makes perfect sense to me.
Right?
Yeah.
And so thank you.
And nothing wrong against the thong, though. I mean, it's all good.
It's sexually very appealing, but it's putting rectum bacteria to your vagina. What kind of...
Vagina?
Your vagina. What kind of infection can you get from rectum to vagina? What do you get?
Bacterial infection.
Vaginosis?
Bacterial vaginosis.
BV?
And urine infections too, right?
Huh?
If the E. coli is flying around there and something pushes up a little into the urethra, that's UTI.
God, that's fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Those are really painful.
Where are my mom's at? Where are they at?
I got a UTI I used to wear in the 90s. Satin panties were very cool.
Mm.
And I feel like those were very conducive to giving me a few UTIs.
So after two kids, are you more or less prone to those things?
Less. I don't haven't had one in forever.
You kind of tend to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Mm, interesting.
I don't have any issues, thank God, except for a blasted vag, which we talked about.
I say
about.
You had a third degree tear.
Yeah. Aside from the physical, the look of it, the aesthetics of it, its functioning is fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that stuff. Thank God.
The Franken
vagisal. I would like Nadav, Dr. Drew, your children are grown.
Yes.
I would like Nadav to put this picture up. Speaking of my pool and being outdoors, my son yesterday decided to throw an entire bowl of fruit into our pool.
Yes.
Yes, you act like you know that you're
familiar. Oh, there is something infinitely appealing to the late childhood male about throwing shit in pools. I got in trouble when I was a kid because my cousin and I were in the backyard. We started throwing dirt clods at each other, and then we just started throwing it over the fence to the neighbor's yard, and then we heard plop.
Oh.
For about an hour. And didn't think anything that we were hurting anything.
Of course.
We got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, of course.
So there is something about that, actually the psychoanalysts even have theories about this.
Tell me.
About males, you know, using something to push something out into space and it having an effect at a distance. Somehow that's appealing to us.
I liked throwing things in the air. I used to throw cans onto the freeway because my school was...
Cause car accidents?
Yes, it was terrible. Well, the first time I heard tires squealing, I was like, this is not a good idea. My elementary school was right there next to the freeway, 101. And so we would throw everything on the freeway, oranges. And then, one time... can of something
to hit the cars or to
just to make things splat
on the freeway.
How fun would that be?
Would you avoid the cars or
no,
do you think about
you
it?
Don't care, you don't think about
you
it.
Don't think
you
about
just
it,
want to throw something over a fence. It's good fun.
Well, you understand what your son's doing.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
I mean, such a dick. And anyway.
I see a banana.
I see an orange. We got a few grape. That's not even all of it.
Is that a grapefruit?
Uh-huh.
Did you see him do it?
No. I was upstairs.
I bet he was laughing hysterically the whole time.
100%. Mm, yeah. He's such a little shit. Mm. Okay, Nadav, go back to those notes because
he had to been doing it for someone. Is this your older or younger son?
The older one.
Was he doing it for his little brother?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everything
perfect.
To amuse the little brother.
Yeah. That's what it was. You understand? You understand I'm at work now?
I do. I love it.
Okay, good.
I love it. So my older boy, I was going to ask you about this, is obsessed with beehole stuff.
His or everybody's?
No, his.
How old is he now?
Four. So he's in love with mommy right now. He's in that phase where I'm his... Mommy, can I sleep next to you? I love you. And I think he's resolving that whole thing that I'm his mommy, I'm not his love interest. Isn't that what that is? And then dad is mommy's love interest.
Yeah, it's you can't think about it in those literal terms, right?
No, because it's weird.
Yeah. Well, no, because it's just not true. I mean, that's how Freud got in trouble. He was using sort of adult terminology to describe the sort of primitive kinds of feeling phenomenon. And people can't get their head around that. You're just talking about he's just resolving his attachments, let's say, and how he feels about these things and who he identifies with and who he wants to sort of fuse with and who he wants to. And if he's fused with one, he's competing with the other and sort of
it's interesting.
Just resolve all that.
Yeah.
He's a little young to be doing that. Should happen. I mean, it may happen next year. Maybe because he has a brother, he's dealing with it.
Four doing that?
Should, more like 5, 6 is where that stuff starts.
Oh, when
really
they
happening.
Start to get into it.
Is he almost 5?
No, he's a mid-4. He's a hard 4.
Mm-hmm.
His brother's around, and the brother's competing, I think, for attention from mom because he's almost 2.
That may be a part of it.
Yeah, so he's always in mommy's arms. Mm-hmm. But the point is the butthole stuff.
You're so fortunate. 2 males.
Oh, my God. I love it. I do love it. I love it. I don't know what I would do with a woman. I have so many mommy issues, Drew, that I think it's probably best that I just
God
stick with the guys.
God thought better of that.
Yeah. I'm serious. I probably would be in more intense therapy. But the butthole stuff, he's like, come on, can I put this in my beehole? I'm going to put the broom in my beehole. Can I want to put this stuff in your beehole. Can I put this in dad's beehole? So there's this idea that now I think he
does
figures
he laugh
out,
or is
it's
he,
a joke.
Yeah,
it's
a
joke.
So it's again, trying to avoid the adult sort of constructs. there's energy around that, right? There's just a feeling, the connection to that is sort of intense right now. And it may be neurobiological development as much as anything. I mean, for instance, later, there's a different body system that kicks in for the male that he becomes preoccupied with.
Oh, my God.
And like a lot of people don't know that first thing males do when they come out of coma, before they even wake up, they start touching and messing with their junk. They're not really masturbating. It's just there's a bunch of energy there, and their body is just like, it's just, that's just what happens. Just what happens.
That's hilarious.
It's like waking comas. That's what men are doing.
Fucking A. You guys are doomed. I'm surprised you're as productive as you are.
Oh, it's a miracle that we didn't just,
sit around and rape all day. And instead you built things and stuff.
Well, that's when we couldn't rape anymore. We started building. I think that's the thinking on that.
Yeah, so Ellis is also...
Couldn't rape and kill, so we started building.
Yes, yeah, so that's smart. It's good. Space
sort of
travel.
Sublimation.
Yeah, how about that?
But sublimation. That's the healthiest form.
Yeah.
Right, is building stuff. Ellis is also... He loves to put his hand in our butt cracks now, and he laughs. You know, he's menacing us. So it's,
sure,
it's
isn't
all
Tom
fun.
Teaching him this.
Well, I teach him too because I'm always like squeezing and we're inappropriate.
Yeah, good.
But it's fun. It's all
fun. Oh man, you guys. Oh, nothing, huh?
What? What are we doing?
You're fine.
He's fine. It's fine. He's loved. He's all loved. Okay, before I get into this too, I wanted to just get your opinion on something. I've been watching a Netflix show. I love these teen shows on Netflix. It's how I find out what the kids are up to.
Okay.
Because I want to be
in
tune.
Did you see, what was the one about the drug addict? What was that?
Euphoria.
Euphoria. That was
good. Oh, it prompted me to buy Xanadu, my first pink wig, because I wanted to look like Jules, the transgendered character who I loved. I got into that. Now I'm into Never Have I Ever, which is about an Indian girl in the San Fernando Valley and her whatever. And in the culture in that high school, it is customary now for girls to ask boys out on dates. How do you feel about this?
Yeah. So I feel okay about it. I know you have issues.
I don't like it at all.
So here's the deal. The one thing I like about it is that both sides need to develop some skill with this so then they can decide what they want to do with it.
Mm.
In other words, females are not encouraged to develop that skill of asking out. Males are not encouraged to develop the skill of accepting or turning down. We don't know how to say no. We freak out. It's like, she's asking me out. I got to go. I guess I'm obliged. What am I going to do? And we don't know how to, we have no idea how to make our intentions inserted into the situation. We just feel like we have to kind of go along with it. Now, by the same token, we are also very, very, very lazy. And if it's somebody we're actually into doing that for us, fine.
Great.
Fantastic.
Great.
Just skipped over a couple steps I don't have to worry about.
Right.
So we're very pragmatic and lazy.
Yes.
So on one side, we're cool with it. On the other, I like the idea that people have developed skills on both sides. So particularly the women can decide what they want to do with it. Maybe they do want like you and they want
interesting.
To, you know, but they at least can make a choice that way.
That's a really good perspective. Yeah. One that I haven't heard before. I don't know. I'm of the old school where the biology dictates, not that we should be completely like, you know, just waiting in the tower for our man. I believe in dropping meaningful signals. Just drop the hanky.
Just so you know, we have no effing idea about any of that.
You can curse.
You don't understand how how bad we are.
Well, that's
we
why,
don't pick up on anything.
Well, let me tell you what I did when I wanted Mr. Tom Segura to ask me out. I had a mutual friend call him and go, "Hey, Christina likes you."
Oh, that's good. If you're 12. How old were you guys?
How dare you, sir?
Old were you guys?
28.
All right. Okay.
Hello.
You're still young adults. All right.
Well, 15 years later.
Yeah, no, it worked. No, I don't mind that strategy. I think any strategy that you might need to use that is not, it's nice when you don't have to put yourself on the line that way. You don't have
I just say like, hey, tell.
No, we appreciate that.
If
guys
he wants to come courting, hey, Froggy's here. She's Froggy into it. Wants to go courting, whatever the fucking dumb thing is. Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
It's just a
like
hanky.
I like the intermediaries.
Doesn't have to pick up because
then nobody gets hurt.
Right.
Right. And I think men should use intermediaries too. And I know they do.
It's exciting. Mm-hmm. What a world we live in. And pretty soon there will be no genders. And what's going to happen then?
I don't know. What is going to happen?
What's going to happen? Okay. Let's take some calls because you guys have been so wonderful calling in. I like to do relationship. Wait a minute. Before we get into that,
You had that one long email about the guy with ADHD.
Please address this first.
I will just tell you, my friend, I've read the email. You are way downstream in a mess with in terms of your pharmacotherapy and what you should be taking and shouldn't be taking. Somebody needs to straighten that all out. It sounds like psychostimulants, you said you were on Adderall for a long time, may not be the right thing for you. Definitely, you shouldn't be treating yourself ever if you have a real bona fide mental health illness. And so your idea of treating yourself with psilocybin, not good. Not saying the psilocybin may not one day have some clinical application. We just don't have the science for that yet. So there you go.
Hold on, Christina. Can you give a little context on what?
Yeah,
that
what was? Can you give a general? Because he just said he had a medications
he had ADHD
question.
ADHD and some mood stuff and some anxiety stuff, and he was just they were just piling one thing after another on him, and then he wasn't
seeing medication. Yeah.
Then he wasn't seeing the psychiatrist, and he was doing things. Oh, on his own. It was just a lot of chaos around his care. He needs somebody really good to straighten his care out. That's all.
As we all do.
Yeah, and be careful, man. My peers do not. If you have drug addiction, you have to be exquisitely careful every time you interact with the medical system. My peers, the vast majority, do not understand drug addiction. And so they will do things and give you things in good faith that can send you in the wrong way, and they will not understand what they've done or not understand the signs and not look for them, and just be careful.
Okay, so what, find a good psychiatrist?
Yeah, like was talking to somebody on one of my streams. I'm doing streams every day on doctor.com, by the way.
Very good.
To update everybody on COVID and stuff. And had Andy Dick on yesterday.
I love Andy.
And Tom Arnold and George Papadopoulos and his wife. Andy used to have a TV show, or a podcasty kind of show called The Shit Show.
Yeah.
He brought it to my stream yesterday.
Oh,
it was a shit show.
What did he do?
He's just being Andy.
Just being Andy Dick,
Yeah, he played some music from with the Bitches of the Century, and it was great. Andy's the best.
Good. Yeah. I love. Wait, do your plug so people know where else they can.
So it's all at Dr. Drew.com. Everything's at Dr. Drew.com. But be sure to watch our show.
I love Dr. Drew After Dark.
Yes.
The best.
Where
people
there is something
it.
Coming soon of a TikTok nature that I'm actually nervous about seeing.
Oh, okay.
But you said I'll
You're
freak
love
out.
It. Yeah.
Gonna love
it's
it.
All good. It's all good. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, that guy, the other day, a guy was telling me the medication he was being treated with, and he was a drug addict. And I knew by the medications that were being chosen that psychiatrist knew what he or she was doing.
Okay.
Because they carefully chose stuff for the ADD that doesn't trigger addiction.
Okay.
That's what this guy needs.
Let's do this. Since we're kind of on drug talk, let's talk to Dara. She's a child of two addicts.
Good times.
Dara. Hold on. Let's see. Dara. Hi, it's Christina and Dr. Drew. How are you?
Hi there.
Hi, hey, mommy. So you had a question about, you're a child of two addicts. What's going on?
Yeah. So I'm 25 and my parents got divorced last year. They were both addicts pretty much since I was in middle school, one active, one in recovery. And ever since they broke up, it's been pretty tough. Like, they were both homeless last year. So now I'm doing a lot of, like, reparenting and going to therapy. But with coronavirus going on, like, I'm having a really tough time just, like, having conversations with them because they tend to catastrophize things and...
Where are they living?
They live about a half hour away from me. They both have housing now, but I moved away a little bit.
What happened to the recovering one that he or she got in so much trouble?
My mom got clean probably my senior year of high school on her own.
Ah,
but,
so she's not still clean. She's using again.
Not that she's told me, but
if she's an addict who is not in the program, who is now homeless, she is using. I can pretty much guarantee you.
Okay.
But maybe she's recovering again, or maybe she's not using again. So hopefully not. But
what would you advise a child in my situation to do then, or a young adult?
You need to go to Al-Anon. You need to get a sponsor. And you need to go regularly. You can do it on Zoom meetings. You can, you just got to start that process of gaining support about around what it is to have lived with addicts your whole life and then how to manage them today, because every instinct you have will be problematic. And you need somebody there standing with you to help you do the difficult things that you need to do when you're dealing with them.
Okay.
Now, here's the other thing.
Well, thank you, Dr.
The other thing, look, you're very fragile. Mm-hmm. You should be fragile after all that you've been through. And so treat yourself right. Don't keep assuming that you can tolerate lots of stress or that you shouldn't feel a certain way. Of course you should be fragile with what you've been to. And the fact that you're rebuilding an emotional landscape in therapy is really, really good news. And it will work. So, but just be patient with yourself, okay?
Thanks, Dr. Drew. Christina, yes, love you. Thank you.
Yes.
Take care of both of you.
Yeah,
I love you, Derek. Take care of yourself first, okay? You're important. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Jeans. Good luck.
You can hear how fragile she is.
Thank you.
I know. Let me drop her first before we start talking about her. I'm trying to hit drop.
Just put... You can do that.
I can do it. Yeah, I agree. And also interesting, she referred to herself as a child of two addicts.
And you could hear almost childlike voice,
yes,
right?
Yes.
She should be arrested and her development should be... She said it herself, I'm reparenting and I'm coming up. And
yeah.
And you, but boy, I mean, you can't... It's you kind of go one of two ways. You're either super fragile and codependent or you're super narcissistic and feelings don't matter.
And you become a stand-up comedian.
Career in comedy is one possible attempted
CEO,
solution. It never works.
No,
it never,
never
works.
But, no.
But yeah.
I know. It's so gone. My heart goes out to these people. Okay. Next up is Zach. What up, Zach? You have Dr. Drew and Christina here.
Holy shit, that's crazy.
Hi, Jeans. Hi. What you got? You got a question for us.
Yo, Zach, turn off what's in the background.
Yeah, what? turn off
your
TV.
CNN.
I'm sorry. We got Tiger Belly going in the background.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, I got to, Nadav, you got to help me. I got to get on that show.
Oh, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
Easy.
Oh, help book
easy.
Me because he's been avoiding me because he had a little relapsey stuff going on. And I told him that was going to happen. And
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Zach, what's up, homie? Mommy? Zach? Did we lose
what?
You?
What?
There you are.
What's
How's
up?
Going?
Hi, Jeans. Okay, what was your question?
I was going to ask you how you feel about hyphenated last names. In the sense of whether it's like comedy world, obviously that's close to home for you.
Yeah.
Or the science realm. So I'm a PhD student.
No.
And a lot of times women in the field will take a hyphenated last name.
Yeah,
and
it's
I'm
interesting.
Highly respectful.
Christina's a traditionalist. She comes from the deep background in Eastern Europe where they do things a certain way.
Kind of. But he's so you come from the PhD world. You guys are
hyphenated last name.
Smart and progressive, right? Mm-hmm. Do you say what pronoun you are in your emails and stuff?
I think I should start doing that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Here's what I have a problem with hyphenated names. Do you know what my problem with it is? Where does it stop?
What does that mean?
I mean, if you're...
First women want to do that, then they're going to vote.
If you're if you have a daughter
and
it's Pazinski-Segura, is it going to be Pazinski-Segura-Smith, Pazinski-Segura-Smith-Jones, Pazinski-Jones-Kashmutz? Where do we stop that?
The madness.
So I think a way to solve that, you ready?
Yeah.
is maybe use the middle name as the sort of the territory.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. So I'll tell you. So professionally, I was Przatsky-Natsky-Nitsky for a million years. Mm-hmm. Then I got married. Tom and I are not a comedy duo, so it was weird if I took Segura as a stage name.
Yeah.
Now my stage name is the letter P because I got so frustrated with people. I mean, it's obviously a hard last name.
Yeah.
The point is, I put my... Pajitsky is my middle name. Segura is my legal last name.
And that's my wife did too. She did that. And so that seems like an interesting way to do it.
I mean,
and then you can sort of make your choice in how you want to identify.
Yeah, how I identify. And then
you could say
I know
you
Pajitsky
could be,
or Segura.
Yeah, right.
And also it's kind of what the Latins do, isn't it? Like I think the Latin culture, you take the last name, you move it to the middle.
It's just that the hyphenated thing just doesn't logically make sense because. Well, then you're going to hyphenate and hyphenate and hyphenate and hyphenate and hyphenate. Where do you stop? Or you're going to mandate that the female child take the dad's last name and then hyphenate the next one?
Ay,
that's paternalistic. Are we going to do that? I think there's a We there's other ways to do this.
This
also.
Whole women's rights thing is
how
fucking
dare you?
Unreal. Anyway, are you going to get married soon, Zach? Is that why you're asking?
No, just thinking about it in the future. And,
just ruminating on it, meditating on it.
You got a lot of free time.
If I'm lucky, I will have a girlfriend that will have a body of work worth keeping that name.
Oh,
and
I got
become
you.
A part of.
Yeah, look,
my deal as well.
Names are, you know, you start to realize there is. Thank you for calling, Zach. Thank you, my love. It's none of it's a sacred shit. And what you learn when you go down, when you get married, when I went to the social
security.
When
you go down?
No, I mean, when you go down to the social security office and you change your name, you realize this is all arbitrary. I can change my name to Hanky.
Yeah.
I can change my name
to Mr. Hanky, yeah.
Napkin Fart. Yeah.
No, Mr. Hanky would be good.
It doesn't fucking matter. So.
No, that's the point. And so it seems to me, given that we can be thoughtful about it, there should be a more thoughtful way of doing it.
So, as you know, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. I'm trying to maintain my femininity, my womanhood, my personhood.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
3 males.
Exactly. But what that means is my only goal is to not cut my hair off entirely. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you see women getting like the John and Kate, the Kate haircut.
Right, but you have a tendency to express yourself through your hair.
Shit.
Right?
Okay.
Don't you?
But I wouldn't do that. But that's, to me, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to have that haircut, and I don't want to wear culottes.
So no mommy stuff. Real mommy
right.
stuff. Right. Yeah.
So
you want this kind of mommy stuff.
Yeah, because I feel like that look to me denotes don't touch my vagina, stay away, I've shut this down, this is no longer, I'm no longer a woman. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you agree with me that from a plumage standpoint, like when your peacock, the peacock will attract another with the plumage, and the minute you cut your plumage off,
Your man, Tom's going to be fine no matter what you do.
I know.
Okay, he'll be all right. So you can relax. But I get what you're saying. It's always, I think both people should try to maintain themselves on behalf of each other.
Right.
I just think that's true. I guess not a problem.
Yeah, but it is kind of a defeminization when a woman does that, right? You have the baby and then you cut your hair like an inch short. Like,
it just,
get, like,
it,
your
it
hair
feels
cut.
A little like you're shutting down. Yeah.
You're
yeah.
shutting it down.
Yeah. yeah.
Yeah. It's once you buy the culottes that you really
yeah culottes. I don't know that's some sort of Nazi propaganda. I don't know what the deal is with that. That's some sort of maniac brought that into the scene. I think that's the first Russian troll.
Yeah,
you brought those in.
Yeah, disgusting. And I also feel that when you wear Crocs, a woman wears or a man wears Crocs or UGG, like those Birkenstocks.
Mm.
I feel like that's the last stop on a sexual highway. Where
and women in their shoes, boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
It is. It's a signifier. Doing? I'm wearing fancy mom sneaks, like with glitter and stuff on them.
And a good animal print.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's signifying to the world, I don't want to fuck anymore. I'm shutting this down.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't wear these, do you?
No. That kind of stuff? No. New. Nor does my wife, thankfully.
No. And she wouldn't let you go out like this, right?
There is a whole, that's an interesting phenomenon in itself. What your female partner will let you do in public in terms of how you present yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, they will pull you aside and give you notes.
Which this is our job as a woman. And if you don't regulate his physical appearance, give a shit.
We'll go bad. Yeah, we'll go down. it's not funny. It's true. I remember the first time I had a girlfriend who started advising me on clothing and things. And I was offended at first. And then she was like, why? I just want you to be able to look better in public. Why does that offend you? I was like, okay.
It's the woman's way.
Like, all right, what do you got in mind? And then ever since, been taking notes.
Yeah, and it's our way of keeping you. That means we like you and we love you.
And women are can be very hard on themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that whatever I get, it's only half of what she does to herself.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, which is really, I actually feel kind of painful about that because she's brutal to me.
Yeah.
And I can imagine if she's more brutal to herself. Oof.
I know. I feel like it's hormonal too. Mm. Anyway. Okay. Let's talk to Taylor.
Thus, mom jeans.
Hi, Taylor. You talking about.
Hi. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you, jeans? You're here with Dr. Drew and me.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey there.
How are you guys doing?
Good. So you had a question about having kids? Chitlins?
Well, yeah. See, I'm 33. I turned 34 this year.
Okay.
And I have a stepdaughter. She's 8. So I'm not like a complete idiot as to how, you know, the whole kid thing is. But okay. I'm just wondering if I do decide to push out a crotch goblin next year or so, am I stupid for doing this in my mid-30s? Is this something that...
No. You're in your early 30s, technically, but you need to get on it, for sure. Okay. And you had some added risk, right? But not massively. I mean, it's certainly common.
Oh, my God. Taylor, are you kidding me? My first kid, I popped out when I was 38, and the second one at 41.
That's insane, though.
I mean, you give me hope.
I'm not kidding.
Why is that insane?
No, it's insane that you were able to do that. I mean, you have about the same likelihood of being attacked by a terrorist.
Really? Do you think so?
Have two healthy boys at 41. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I didn't know that because at 35 I began the process of trying to get preggers with Tom, and then I had two miscarriages, and then I was like, I should probably go see the fertility doctor. Mm. I did Clomid with Ellis. Boom, pregnant.
35 is when it starts to run.
35 is when they start to call you a geriatric pregnancy. They start reading you the riot act about how fucking old you are.
It's not that you're that old. It's that
the eggs.
It just everything starts declining in terms of fertility.
Eggs. So hold on. Let me talk to Taylor. Taylor Swift, are you there? Mommy, listen.
I'm here.
Here's what you want to do. If you want to prolong it a little bit longer, here's what you do. Go get your egg quality tested. I would advise to get the anxiety out of you if you want to before you start trying naturally. Go get your levels. Okay. It's a blood draw, right? They do your FSH or what is it?
There's all kinds of stuff they can do. I mean, there's all kinds of ways of all issues in assessing fertility, but starting with a fertility, usually they say try for a year and that doesn't work, then see fertility. But if you want to preempt at your age, I think it's certainly quite reasonable.
Yeah. Go get yourself looked at.
Okay.
They can do an ultrasound. I remember they did an ultrasound and you can literally see if you have eggs in the bank and how many. Now, that doesn't always indicate the quality because when I did IVF on the second baby, they pulled out 18 eggs. Out of the 18, I think 5 were even viable to be fertilized. So sometimes, you know, whatever. Yep, complicated. Science 41. Is on your side.
You
go somewhere good.
Sorry to tell
you. No, go, Mommy.
Do you think that it makes a difference? Like, my partner is, he's like 4 years younger than me. Do you think that's going to, help my chances with it?
Won't hurt, that's for sure.
A bit younger?
Yeah, males, their fertility pretty
Jizz
much.
Is fine.
Yeah, it's pretty much consistent. But it's, you know, he'll be producing more of it at a young age, you know, more.
Yeah,
more
it's
available.
The eggs. They're going to blame you for it.
Well, he could have some intrinsic problem. I mean, we don't know, right?
Yeah,
could be
low.
True.
And
that's
there could
true.
Be something.
Well, he managed to do it once before, so I feel like he could do it again.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Have you? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Just do it now. Pull the goalie. See what happens. Good luck. Drink wine and relax. That's always what I say. Just have a glass of wine. I'm not saying get ripped. Relax. Don't think about it so much because women get so keyed up over it. And I mean, not that I didn't either, but relax.
It's uncanny to me how much relaxation is a part of a really important part of female biology, both in terms of sexual receptivity and reproduction and productivity. Women have a whole system around relaxation.
Yeah.
And it goes with a phenomena that men don't have at all called receptivity, which is an estrogen-mediated phenomenon.
Tell me more about this.
Well, receptivity, are you open to bringing in a male? You know, kind of.
Yes, quite literally into your body.
Yes,
and his DNA.
We do not have receptivity as an experience at all, at all. And that whole receptivity and the relaxation required for it bleeds over into other motivational systems. Right?
Fascinating.
Which you just told her to relax, relax, relax.
You must.
And you wouldn't tell the male that working on fertility. You'd say, go out and get it. Blah, 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 blah. Go.
Go jizz. No. Yeah. Go make more. Do it again. Yeah. Do it again.
Don't drink wine. Get sleep right. Exercise. Eat more meat.
Yes. That's what I did to Tom. That's so true. Oh my God. I didn't even think about that. That's why we're the perceivers of the world, too. It's so interesting.
Well, that's a whole other system that you have, which is you can use both sides of your brain much more simultaneously because of this thing called the corpus callosum. You have a much bigger connection between both sides. And so you're more somebody was talking about this in something I saw that was, I think it was Jerry Seinfeld stand-up, talking about women, what they perceive Oh, I know what it was. He was saying, you know, the baby was born and, you know, he watched all these instincts kick in for his wife. And he said, and you know what I felt? Nothing. Zero kicked in. I could just watch hers kick in and follow them. And that it was exactly my experience.
It's so interesting. Yeah. God damn. Yeah. It's fascinating. Wow. Yeah. I feel like we should be ruling the world, but you guys
it's a different system, right? And so theoretically, the way I think about it is, I used to think that, by the way.
Yeah, I like it.
And I've rethought it. I think there needs to be a balanced. We need both in the world.
Masculine and the feminine.
Yeah,
energy.
And we somehow need to figure out how to balance it better.
Yeah, we do. It's coming. Mm-hmm. The pendulum is moving right now.
Well, it's been moving the feminine side, right. I think.
Yes.
And I feel like it needs to kind of find a little more of a happy medium. A little bit more. Because to operate just from feelings, which
it's
is what's
good.
Happening right now, we need a little critical reasoning with those feelings.
Yeah.
I love
the
feelings. I love that. But add some critical reasoning on top, please.
Right, right. But this is the first time
And I'm not saying critical reasoning is a male thing. I'm just saying we need that overlay on our feelings.
I agree. Because the feeling stuff is it's now become nonsense.
No, it has not. It's still, I dig that we're, and by the way, males are having feelings and talking about their feelings and stuff, and that's good. And women are critically reasoning, and that's good. But we need to kind of bring more of them together.
Right,
more,
right. Yeah. But I'm saying that feelings now dictate logic. Like they overriding.
What are you thinking about?
Oh, just the social, the SJW stuff. Getting in, from a comedy perspective, if I say a certain word and it hurts somebody's feelings, mm-hmm. I'm now expected to change my behavior mm-hmm. to make them feel better. Mm-hmm. That logic doesn't even follow. It's nutty.
So not only is it, there's a logic to that, but it is anathema to what you should do if you want somebody to get better.
So,
for instance, when somebody has a phobia,
correct.
How do we deal with it?
Immersion.
Exposure.
Yeah.
So by removing the stimulus, you are hurting somebody.
Yep.
So that's the problem I have. Yes, there's a logic to not hurting somebody and changing your behavior. But when the microaggression creates a response, maybe we need to help with those responses.
The microaggression. Okay. Get the fuck out of here. Grow a pair is what I say. Grow a fucking pair. You're going to love this next call. This one really caught my eye. Caleb.
I want you to have a t-shirt that's straight out of Budapest.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hold on a second. I must address this 1 second. 100%. I got to tell you something. This hardcore Eastern blocker shit, yeah, it's still in. Obviously.
I know. I see it. I love it.
But it's right. Because a lot of that stuff is fucking spot on. Okay? My parents survived, you know, World War II, communism,
yes.
because they were tough.
Yeah.
And these fucking crybaby, I can't stay indoors for 2 months. Like, give me a break, sweetheart. Yeah. You're not being bombed. Just fucking chill. Okay?
It's interesting how many conversations I've had about the London Blitzkrieg. During this whole thing,
like
as compared to what we're dealing with, people start bringing it up, like hey,
that's
man,
great, yeah.
right?
Okay, all right, sorry, Caleb, my love, you've been stretching your penis.
Oh, of course, as is the custom.
Tell me about this.
Seriously, the T-shirt Nadav straight out of Budapest. I want that. I want Christina's face.
Hold on, Caleb, you've been stretching your peener. What's going on?
Yeah, I've been stretching my penis for a couple of weeks now, hoping. Gain a little bit of length.
So hold on, slow down. So Christina, you're going to be a little freaked out by how much I know about this. have you been jelking or using weights?
Jelking.
Okay.
Who the fuck are you? Who are you?
Did a show called Loveline for 30 years.
Have you been jelking? Oh, please explain.
This is actually good. I'm glad you know a lot about this. So I have been jelking and. After doing it for a bit, I noticed that there's like a vein at the base of my penis that's kind of starting to protrude, and it's painful when I'm having sex, or it hurts a lot when I'm having sex. So I just wanted to know if that's
something
I should have looked at.
So, stop back.
Let's take his jelking. Yeah, what the fuck is jelking?
Describe your jelking
Caleb,
procedure.
Please.
It's what you think,
okay,
it is.
Pretty much just hold my penis at the base and just kind of gently kind of pull down.
It's stretching.
Repetitively.
Okay.
And
got it.
I guess it just kind of stretches
and
it out
works?
A little bit.
This works?
A little bit. And the weights kind of work a little bit. And if you have back in the old day when they used to do penis enlargement surgeries, they'd break the ligament that holds the penis up. And then they would have them wear weights for a few weeks to pull it out to get to heal that way. Yeah, and people do use weights and things, and I don't know that it does much. I really don't. I was worried that it really just primarily stretching skin and not necessarily the cavernous bodies inside. Mm. And obviously you can irritate things and break veins and all the good stuff you're running into. And you can tear the ligaments. Oh, and it's just, you know, it's just how much you packing here normally?
About 6.5.
Yeah, oh my God. So that's quite, what are you doing this like, stuff to yourself?
Something
that's
like
fine.
80-90% of men fall in 6.5 and under. Yeah. So
that's, can I tell you something? Okay. That is from all the dicks I've had, that's like the mean range, right? There was one, the outliers are 2. Out of all the dicks, you've got the average, and then there was one small and one enormous cock. The rest are you.
In an upcoming Dr. After Dark, we have a long conversation about this, interestingly. And the large one was not your perfect Peter.
No, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And actually, the large one, I wouldn't want to have it as a marriage peener because
it would hurt.
It's really not. It's not ideal. You don't want to have a grenade thrown in your vag every time
right.
you
now,
bone.
Now, there are
you
some women that really like that, and some women are not so much.
Well, those women are sluts. Okay. Thank you so much, Caleb. So you're having strange pains in your painter, is what you're saying.
I'd lay off.
The jelking. You don't need it.
Sex had become pretty painful, and I just wanted to know if I should get it looked at.
I would, yes, for sure.
Yeah, get it looked at.
Yes, yes.
Can't hurt. You can never hurt.
You can cause Peyronie's disease. You've got acquired Peyronie's and get a curve and a scarring and all this stuff. So, yes, by all means, go see it.
Caleb, not this jelking.
You know, I have a great urologist you would love to have on this show, Ashley Winter.
Oh, what's
that? Her name? Ashley, did I get her name right? She's a female, really fun female.
Great. Talking about
urologist.
Dicks.
Yeah, and she'd be really good on this show.
My husband would like that too. He loves talking about dicks.
he
loves dick talk. Okay. This next caller.
Yeah, Ashley Winter. Ashley G. Winter.
Oh, there she is.
She's hot and she's fun, smart. And,
oh, she's great.
And her main, most of her day job is putting in penis implants.
Oh, my. Yeah. That's cool. Are penis implants a popular thing? Do they
work? You'd be shocked at her. She really is smart. They should have been doing this for... She would have had more to say on that case.
Sally, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, thank you for holding. What's in the background? Can you make that quiet?
Can you make that go away?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm on my headphones and trying to work from home. Trying to be a mom and all that kind of stuff.
What kind of work are you doing?
Is it better now?
You're better, mommy.
What kind of work are you doing?
Better. Okay. I do oncology research.
Oh
fantastic.
Cancer.
From home?
So I'm a clinical research associate.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's nerd
talk. So we can actually do a lot of stuff remote now. It's great.
Fantastic.
Wonderful.
I want a research associate.
So I wanted to bring back up the female orgasm debate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Specifically with squirting and breastfeeding, not at the same time, but I've noticed I wasn't able to squirt until after I had kids, and things changed. And I've noticed that sometimes when I have a hard time letting down my breast milk, I have to like really relax and sort of like relax my whole body. And it's the same thing I have to do when I squirt.
This is pertinent to the conversation we just had.
Huh?
We were just talking about receptivity and relaxation in the female biology. We're talking about that. But keep going. Yeah, and?
Oh, that was kind of my question about that and if you've heard of that and sort of like that nerve connection and also how that changes with women in your bodies. Like, I mean, everybody has a G-spot. Does your access to your G-spot change as you have kids?
Yes. The architecture seems to have something to do with it. And so you had a vaginal delivery?
No.
Huh.
2 C-sections.
Well, that's weird. Because usually when people talk to me about big changes like that, it's after a vaginal delivery because the architecture changes.
Yeah.
People who could not have an orgasm.
I dilate a little bit.
There are women, I've talked to women who could not orgasm with intercourse before and then suddenly could afterwards. I've heard stories like this where they're suddenly squirting and there wasn't. I always wonder, so you ask questions off the air about squirting, right? Because you saw this call coming.
Well, I will say I always thought that squirt was piss. There's a hot debate.
It can be. And in that case, it's actually called female orgasmic incontinence. Right?
So what's coming out of there? Oh, pee-pee.
Pee-pee's coming
out.
When
you're incontinent.
But it also turns out there is something called the periurethral gland, which is this tissue that is prostate tissue.
Oh.
And it's identical to prostate. And prostate is what produces semen.
Right.
And so some women can produce a bit of fluid out of that gland and maybe pregnancy. Oh, look, a periurethral gland. See if you can find it in there. If you look at it on a microscope, it does, again, it has sort of prostatic tissue. And it never becomes cancerous in women, thank God. But it does produce in some women some fluid. And when they have that kind of squirting, it's a much thicker kind of a fluid.
Right, much like seminal
fluid. Yes,
much fluid, like seminal right.
fluid. Ooh,
oh,
look at
my
your terminology.
Goodness.
Periurethral skeins. There it is.
Wow.
So
that's fascinating. Right? It's interesting how having children does change. I mean, when you think about it, it makes sense. You have something growing inside of you that mushes your organs around and then something suddenly coming out.
Click on, oh, go back to that page. There was right there. Click on the periurethral histology, the pink
boy.
Picture down. There. That's, See? And you notice the next section is normal prostatic tissue, right? Because it all kind of looks very similar.
So
interesting.
Wild.
Really interesting.
Is
that
right.
a periurethral prostate?
Yes,
yeah.
Sally, go ahead.
Am I still on the call?
Yes,
you are.
How much does that have to do with hormones and birth control? Because I was on birth control, basically my whole life until I had a baby.
Same.
And then after the baby, I wasn't on birth control anymore. And I was like, oh, I have a sex drive. And that's when I discovered I could squirt and do all these things. And so
doesn't
I wonder
it,
how much of that.
Well, everything you've been so everything you've been talking about has been estrogenic. All the relaxation, the breast, all of that is an estrogen mediated phenomenon. And some women are much more sexually responsive when they're hyperestrogenized.
Hmm.
Other women are all over the place. This is what screws men up like crazy. Some are much more sexually aroused when they're androgenized, and so progesterone can actually raise sex drive in some women.
Not me.
Though most women it shuts it down. So most of the birth control pills that they prescribe these days
are both.
Well, primarily a very potent progesterone. That's the predominant therapeutic agent.
Yeah, okay.
And they don't warn you that it can affect your mood and your sleep and your sexual responsiveness and your orgasmic functioning. And I think it's terrible. And about 20% of women, it can be permanent.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That hormone stuff is no joke, man.
There's
the
a guy named
method doesn't work. So.
No, I know.
No.
There's a guy named... Andrew Goldstein in Washington, D.C. that does a whole bunch of research on this. I did several podcasts with him. If you go to drdrew.com and go to the Dr. Drew podcast, look, it's no longer behind a paywall. You can get all that stuff out, but look it for Andrew Goldstein. He's a very interesting guy.
Mm.
So there you go.
Interesting.
Interesting
all
stuff, right?
Awesome.
Thanks, Sally, and congratulations
right. Thanks,
on your
I'm
squirting.
I'm a big fan. Love you guys.
Oh,
thank
I love you.
You
too. Thanks, Jeans.
Good research, Jeans.
I'm so happy she's squirting. You know, it's
pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
And lovely. Men love that too. Like they love seeing. They love seeing evidence of their of what they've accomplished.
Okay.
They like seeing the building built. You see, they like seeing the bridge after they work on it for a while, and they like seeing the squirt after they've worked on you for a little while. It feels like they've done something. That's God. something tangible in the world. You understand how messed up men are? Do you understand?
I get it. And it's funny. I was talking to my friend yesterday, and we were just talking about how sex in the marriage really just smooths everything over. If you can just bang your dude.
Not in the marriage. That's how you manage a male.
Yeah.
That makes everything
Thank
good.
You. I've been saying this to my audience that it's a sexual manipulation, but it's true. You
it's
must.
It's not manipulation. It's just pragmatic. It's just pragmatism.
That I have to milk my bear every now and then. Otherwise, it's unmanageable.
If you know, listen, and you watch our moods. Watch what happens to us. We start getting irritable and picking fights and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is. It's just.
So what you're saying is my stupid comedic theory is rooted in science. It's true.
You know who? Laura Schlesinger wrote a whole book about this called like The Care and Feeding of Husbands.
I got to read
it. And she essentially said, what's the big, this is a pleasurable thing. Why do you withhold that from them? Why do they need it. They lose themselves.
Yes.
They can't stand. And the other part that you got to tune into, it is not strictly speaking a biological accumulation. We feel unloved.
Yes.
Because it's sort of like, hey, we picked you. God gave us this at 13. We've been managing it ever since, and we picked you to help us manage it, and you're abandoning me when it really hurts, and it really doesn't feel like you love me or care about me or attending to me. And then by the same token, we experience love through this act. too. So it's got a double edge. You know, it's
validation.
It's doubly effective for us,
right?
Because you're saying I do care and I am helping you manage this thing, and you feel loved when we do it. So we're just like, fine. We're better.
Yeah, and it's like the easiest thing you can do,
yes.
And it makes everybody else happy.
Yes.
Just fucking put out, man. Yes.
And it doesn't require, well, everybody's different with what the requirements
are. We don't
know.
No,
everyone's different. It's what that timing is.
That's why I know. That's what I'm saying. Some women probably have to go through a lot more hoops than me, and maybe that's why they're like, I don't want
to
do this.
Yeah, some, it can be hard to keep up.
Do whatever.
It can be difficult to keep up.
Yeah. Anyways, okay.
So good times.
Good times. Jordan, this one I'm not sure I understand. Jordan, are you there, mommy?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Jordan.
Hi, you're here with...
Long time listener, first time caller, always following Proto.
Yeah, Jeans.
Yes, Jeans. High and tight. What you got going on?
Hello.
What's going on?
Just feathering it?
Well, I
how many
episodes
can we throw out? One guy.
I got a TikTok video with like 30,000 views of a guy feathering it in an alley here in Indianapolis, just burning his hair off.
Yeah, I think we play that on your mom's
Proto.
House.
Oh, I
it's
need to see that
up.
On the
yeah,
doctor, on After Dark. So good. So,
absolutely.
So what's going on with your girlfriend? You're obsessed with eggs?
We've been... Yeah, well, everyone calls me Egg Yolk. That's my nickname. That's my graffiti name. I've been collecting eggs. I've been eating eggs my whole life.
Egg Yolk?
Super obsessed with eggs. You know,
perfectly
and
normal,
perfectly
become natural.
Kind of sexual, and been with my girlfriend for a year now. There's a bit of an age difference, but she's just not into eggs like I am. She doesn't even eat eggs.
Wait,
God,
what
is the matter with her? I mean, my God,
I don't know.
Weird pervert are you dealing with? Not into eggs.
So wait, what's the age difference? She's younger or older? I'm assuming
older.
Like 9 years younger than me.
Younger, and. And where
like
did your
30,
egg
25.
Where did you first notice your egg preoccupation? What was it, like one Easter it sort of stuck or?
Yeah, I guess it was Easter, and I liked that I could put things in plastic eggs. I've never put an egg in myself before you asked that. But
before
I
asked that,
I just started drawing eggs and like calling myself Egg Yolk, and then I don't know. I'd like to put an egg in someone, but you know they don't have cloaculas, so.
Huh?
Cloacas.
It's the
cloacas. Yeah,
that's where the eggs
okay.
come out. He's
bird
studying
holes.
His biology.
He's
bird
really,
holes.
What kind of eggs are they? You're natural. Are you into brown, white, colored? What is it? You mean you
I
paint
like
them?
The large brown ones. I'll eat any egg, but if we're talking in the bedroom, I mean, I guess like a plastic egg or some type of.
I kind of get that preoccupation with the plastic eggs
yeah,
that open
cool.
up. There's something deeply gratifying
yeah,
about
there's
that.
There's utility. It's colorful. It's fun.
It goes deeper. I don't know what the hell that is, but I can remember as a kid being like fascinated by that too.
Yeah,
so,
it contains.
Yeah.
Well, secrets. I don't want to whip out like an egg butt plug in the bedroom because you know it's got to be. I feel like there has to be some kind of consent. To even possess it beforehand.
Aren't all butt plugs sort of egg-like? Isn't that sort of the thing?
Fuck, you're asking
maybe.
The wrong person.
I don't know.
I've
well,
never used one, but yes, she's just not into eggs.
Right, well, that's the young lady you've chosen, so you're stuck with that. And maybe you... Uh-oh.
Oh,
see, look, that looks like an egg on the left there. That's silver... Those silver things? Don't those look like eggs?
Yeah, they do. They look. There's egg. Okay, so
they're either eggs or ace of spades. One or the other. That seems to be the common. Oh, there's a oh, Jesus.
Egg of spades.
They're all egg shaped. Wait, so you're asking if you should break up with her because she's not into eggs? Does she give you grief about it?
No, I wouldn't break up with her. I love her. I mean, I'll just you know. Is it cheating if I have my eggs on the side?
You're fine.
If it goes farther.
You're fine.
You're fine.
You're not cheating with eggs.
No.
Enjoy those eggs, Yolk.
Okay, Jordan.
All right,
man.
Thanks, Jordan.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to say that I think Brett's a big R word and Tom rules, but thank you for taking my call.
Oh, okay.
Who's a big R word?
Wait, who's a big R word? Brett, the wrestler. Right?
Oh, more coming.
Wrestling sucks.
Stay tuned.
Wrestling sucks.
Stay tuned. new chapter coming your way.
My husband has a real talent for just pissing off large groups of people. I don't know. It's so funny. It's such like, it's just part of his makeup. Like I was, we're laying in bed.
As soon as it happens, the marching band goes off in his head. Good job. Good job. Good job. I mean, I accused him of that the other day. He went, yes, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And so.
Loves it.
I don't have that myself.
I don't have that either. I have the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Where I'm
sort
like,
of
I'm
avoid.
Get punished.
Yeah.
Someone's
avoid
gonna...
conflict. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Tom doesn't just fall at it. He brings it. What's he doing?
I don't know. Maybe because he doesn't pick fights with me. Like, we don't have a contentious thing, and he needs that. And so that's where he takes out.
Is his dad like that?
No. His mother's like that.
Oh.
It's a mom thing. Mm. That. They're very, like, they
well,
like
he to picks fight with her like crazy. Yeah,
he likes to torture her, too.
Oh, I see.
Better them than me. Yeah. I don't care. Uh-huh. Okay. Next one is... Barry, are you ready for that? Do you torture Susan?
I don't think so. I
no,
hope
you're
not.
Sweet.
You
don't,
I hope so.
You know, does she torture you?
That's a sometimes. Yes. Yeah. No. Not. No. Not really.
She's not like a.
Well, she. Sometimes she becomes her father when she drinks. Starts yelling at the television. and if I get caught in that crossfire, that's
yelling at the TV like sports.
Like news or anything, whatever's, you know, but typically news, I'd say.
Oh, like, you stupid son of a bitch, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't you know? The ball?
Yeah. And how does that, do you laugh at it or are you like,
oh, I think it's hysterical. But then sometimes it kind of moves off the television. So it's heading west. Yeah. And that's when I get in the line of fire.
Yeah. Forget it.
And then the if I really want to bring it on, I just start mentioning that, man, remember your dad used to yell at the TV?
Oh, and everybody loves to hear that they're just like their parent.
Yes.
Isn't that people's favorite thing? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
No, we'll bring it.
Okay. All right, let's do this one. Barbecue Barry.
Mm.
Oh, this is interesting.
Oh.
Oh, you don't like this one. Uh-oh. Speaking of marriages and such, okay. Barry... What's up, homie?
Good afternoon, Mommy. How are you?
I'm good. You're here with Dr. Drew. You have a marital question.
I do have a marital question, Dr. Drew. Big fan since way back in the day with you of Adam, of course. Mm-hmm. But married 24 years.
Oh, good.
Love my wife to death. We are best friends.
Good.
But about a month ago, found some shit on her phone where a guy that's been kind of working on her for a couple of years kind of started to kind of break down that wall. So nothing happened between them. If anything had happened, if it had been so much as a kiss or any of that, then I'm down the road and gone. I thought that is what happened, but you know, as we talk a bit more, it's just more words than anything. And, you know, we have found a counselor in all this COVID bullshit nonsense. But just wanted to see if, you know, what our first appointment was last Wednesday for 2 hours. Fantastic session. First time I've ever been to counseling in my life. And, you know, according to this gentleman who's been doing it a long time, he feels like that with a lot of good communication and kind of breaking down some walls that you can come out of it a bit stronger. So,
that's true.
You know,
that is true.
If you've got some advice or anything,
well,
I'm all ears. I listen to a lot of people and if I didn't want to try and grow and become better, then I would be a giant hypocrite.
Yeah. So the first thing they always make sure of is, are you committing to this thing? Are you guys in, or do you want to, is this the end and you're trying to figure out how to end it? They're used to seeing people in therapy that are at the end.
Right, because that's usually when people wait, right? Until it's broken. And then...
So you're in early, it's good, there's something going on, you want to try to solve it. Did you find out sort of what the issue is?
Say again, there was a beep right in the middle, Dr. Drew. Did I find out what?
What the problem is, where things are breaking down, why it went down this path?
You know, yes. You know, I'm good at being an asshole for sure. My wife at one point, there was never, there was obviously some anger, but I was just crushed. My heart was just absolutely
all right. So,
crushed.
So there's something.
What I read.
All right,
what I read.
That's fine. You moved from I'm an asshole to I was crushed. So there's something about your behavior that was pushing her away and whatever. So you guys are going to hopefully solve that.
She felt like, you know, it's easy to take people for granted. So after 24 years, it's easy to go, you know what, she'll be here tomorrow or I can do that later.
Right.
I can give her a better kiss.
Okay. So you've got a lot of things. There's room to improve. Got it. Room to improve. Good
room
for
to
you.
Improve.
Do
Absolutely.
It. Stay with it. But the one piece of advice, change. So actually sustain the change. You see the change you need to make. Now you got to make it. Then you got to sustain it. Sustaining it is the hardest part. So see if you can sustain it. But number two, be prepared for whatever comes. Be open to and encourage that from her. Like wherever we need to go with this, I'm willing to go. If it means making things better, it may be painful, but let's go where we got to go.
Okay. Receptivity. Mm-hmm. Try to do the female position of receptivity as a male. Probably very difficult.
We don't have it. We don't have that setting.
We need estrogen.
Yeah, but openness. We understand openness.
Openness.
But receptivity we don't get.
Oh, okay, yeah. Barry. Well, good luck, Barry.
You'll be all right. Sounds good. Sounds like a good situation. I trust that therapist. So.
God. That's got to be devastating. I haven't had that happen. Knock on.
Something. That's because you're like a whole intelligence service watching your husband.
I don't. You know, it's funny. You think I do, but it's really just me as the terrorist. Yeah. I don't even need to have surveillance.
I see. You've got,
where are you going?
Got biological
what are you doing?
Radar. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing? Where are you going? Who's fucking Courtney or whatever? You know what I mean? What are you going to do right now? When are you coming back? Mm. I'm very, you know, he doesn't disappear for 8 hours and whatever.
Straight out of Budapest.
Of course. Straight out of Budapest. I love it. Well, Susan doesn't keep tabs on you? What are you doing?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not
she
like
doesn't
you.
Need to. You're not like.
Right.
I don't like.
Mm-mm.
You're not that guy, man.
No.
You're a good dude.
I just don't like I wouldn't want the headache.
Of cheating? It sounds like a freaking
nightmare. Sounds awful, yeah.
The lies and then the have to.
It sounds like a lot of work.
I know. Well, speaking of, you brought up Dr. Laura before. I think she says that when people get bored, they tend to get into affairs and stuff.
That's true.
It's like something to.
But the people that get bored that need stimulation, alcoholics, drug addicts, sociopaths, they need stimulation.
Yeah.
So. People that need stimulation. I get bored, I feel good.
Right? Yeah, I feel like it's a relief to just be, to not
quiet.
Have anything going on up
there.
Yeah. How did my dad stay married for 17 years at a clip?
To which one?
Right.
Who knows what he had going on, dude? Come on.
That's so true. Yeah.
You're assuming.
Yeah. What am I doing?
It takes a good 5 or 10 years before somebody's had enough, they bail out. So he may have started that process way earlier than you know. Right?
Man.
Right?
Yeah, I hear you. Okay.
What are the fails? I want to see what fails we got here. Is that a
fails?
Fail?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I love it. You're so funny. You're like, all right, enough people stuff.
Two fails.
Let's see what the fuck is going on here. Mom fails. All right, let's do we have any audio ones? We do. Or a video. Let's do a video.
Uh-oh.
These are fun.
Uh-oh.
Now it's time for a round of mom fails.
What's she? Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Leave it.
With her bra?
Oh, is that your necklace?
That's so cute.
It's her backpack.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, well.
So that's
a cool necklace.
For those of you just listening, this little toddler girl, adorable little girl, has her mommy's bra on and is putting it on her head, around her neck. This is funny. I have the hugest bras, too, and both my sons love putting their heads in my bra because they're so enormous. Yeah. Oh, it's so cute. Oh. Your tetas get bigger
that's
after
not a
kids,
fail.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yes, they can.
They get like not just hangier, but just volume, voluminous.
But sometimes they can go away. They can do. You can get involutional changes where they go.
I wish.
No, you don't.
You don't want that.
That can look like the fried egg on the.
Oh yeah. I want that shit. Yeah. All right, mom fails. I need to quit smoking. Probably just my most recent but incriminating mom fail to date. It's the day after Mother's Day and it's early in the morning. I'm chilling in my bed, pretending to be asleep because I'm not quite ready to start the day. Mm-hmm. My 3-year-old daughter runs in and is trying to get me up. I make the lame excuse that I need my medicine because I don't feel good. So I jokingly tell her to go to my get my medicine for me. In all honesty, I thought she was going to grab a bottle of Advil or maybe something innocent.
How old is she?
A 3-year-old.
That's what you want to do with a 3-year-old. Have them handling medication. That's fail.
We'll see what instead, my boyfriend caught her outside in the backyard trying to pick up an old cigarette from my ashtray. So apart from my awful habit that my poor child knows about, she also believes my cigarettes are my, quote, medicine. I need to quit smoking.
Yes, you do.
Love you. Keep it high.
But I think your child is very insightful.
Yeah, that's mommy's medicine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know. I had a friend one time. I was over at her house, and she was like, bring mommy some juice. And the kid brought, like, a glass of wine.
Perfect.
To mom. Perfect. Like, I'm not sure
you think
you
kids
wanna.
Don't know what's going on. Like, a 2-year-old could do that. Kids know.
Wait, you're saying that's not a good thing to train your kid to
kids
bring you a
know.
Beer? Or yeah, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. So what do you recommend for this lady to quit smoking?
Stop smoking. There's medication that can help right now.
Chantix.
Chantix works
seen
really
those commercials.
Well, certain percentage of the time. You can try nicotine replacement. You know, the only thing I will tell you about nicotine replacement, the gum, the patches, all that stuff, is typically people don't use enough. You got to use a lot. And the first 2 weeks is when people are more likely to relapse if you can get those first 2 weeks done. And if you end up addicted, say, to nicotine gum, who cares?
Right.
Nicotine doesn't hurt you. It's the tobacco that hurts you.
The tobacco. You know what I did, too, that really helped me was hypnotherapy, believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to quit, though, and I saw this lady here in L.A., what's her name? Black. Rita Black. She's in LA. If you want to see her, look her up. Rita Black. And she'll treat you once. It's like $300. Mm-hmm. And if you relapse, she'll treat you again. She's fantastic. Helped me. I did hypnobirthing with her too.
Ooh.
Yeah. She's cool, man. Mm-hmm. She's really cool. I believe in all that stuff. The power of the mind.
Were you easy to get into hypnotic trance?
Yeah. I wanted it. And I've done it for phobias. I did it for my vomiting phobia.
Mm.
It basically just took the edge off of it.
Yeah.
It didn't completely.
Did she leave you with any suggestion that you could do or look to that to reduce it or further enhance the anti-vomit feeling?
Yeah. There's steps that I must take. Mm. When I feel like I will vomit, I'm supposed to get my water, watch TV, do things like, yeah. And
but,
with smoking, I'm supposed to drink water instead of smoke.
But they're not post-hypnotic suggestions so much as behavioral management.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. Do you ever do that?
Hypnosis?
No.
I think I'd be a tough one to get in. Yeah, I do. I think I wouldn't go in. Because some people are really easy to get hypnotic trance and some are really tough.
Yeah, I trust. I'm like, all right, I'm here for this. Give me this shit. Mm.
It's not even that for me. I just feel like that would be, I don't know. I used to get kind of hypnotic when I was in therapy.
Yeah.
I would go into when time would contract and expand and
same,
weird
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, my friend Rena just texted me.
Okay.
Would you mind taking a question
sure.
from here we go. I'm gonna call Reens right now. She's a huge fan. I don't know what the hell she's gonna ask about. Let me give you some background about Rena.
Russian
no
ballerina.
Oh. Rena ballerina. What, bitch, pick up.
What, she texted you and said let's do this and then just won't pick up?
Fucking bitch.
Let me dial it, and then my phone will, my number, my name will. Let me call her, and then my name will come up on her phone.
No, it won't.
It won't?
Sweet.
If I dial her phone number,
well, it won't. Call me. Okay, she's ready now. Right. Okay.
Hello.
What up, Reens? It's Steens.
Hello.
I have Dr. Drew right here for you.
You're on mic.
You're on mic. You're on the show here. Drew, talk to her.
Okay. How's it going, Dr. Drew?
I'm good, Rena. What's up?
Trying to survive.
I know.
So, I'm just wondering if, and I'm hoping this is a judgment-free zone.
Yes.
That nobody's going to call the cops on me.
I'm a mandated reporter, so I cannot make that promise. But let's see.
I'm just wondering. I'm just realizing during this whole quarantine how I'm just not really liking my kids, like at all. Like I'm just realizing that I don't know, like I'm having kind of like a visceral reaction every time my almost 8-year-old says anything. That I'm always annoyed, and just nothing he says is interesting, or I just don't have that, you know, feeling of like, you know, affection and cuddliness that I did before this whole thing.
Right. It's too much. Too much time
together.
It's a little
bit, and yeah. I'm not sure what it is. Like, I'm just kind of why am I at this level?
Are you getting depressed right now, too? Are you feeling depressed?
I mean, we all have our own. It's kind of funny, but it sounds pretty LA, but both my husband, myself, and my son, we all have our own Zoom therapist sessions.
Good.
So we're at least trying to work on our mental health.
Good.
You know, and we're trying to do things, but having to work a full-time job, my husband working a full-time job. I also have a 2-year-old, and having to, you know, homeschool a 7-year-old doesn't really want to be homeschooled.
Oof.
I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know what somebody's going to give.
Yeah, I get it. But it does sound like there's real depression that may need more than just therapy, but something to kind of think about. But one of the great surprises that many parents and most women experience is they go through some phase at some time, typically, where they want to kill their kids, and they don't like them.
So then it's not like abnormal for me.
No.
To, I mean, I don't know if I want to murder them.
No. I'm giving the worst case scenario. But okay. it's to not be happy. In fact, the nadir of happiness is around age 8.
Oh,
typically,
really?
Yeah. People where they're stressful, they're difficult. And the crazy thing, the really interesting thing, I was talking to a psychologist about this a couple of days ago on my own podcast, that we in spite of knowing that most child rearing is a very unhappy experience and stressful and difficult, humans still do it.
Yeah.
And it has its rewards that are far beyond feeling good about everything all the time. There's much more reward in, you know, creating another productive adult and pushing them into the world and feeling good about them and loving them. There's a lot to it, but it doesn't mean you're going to be happy and love them at every minute of every day. And I do get the sense, though, in your case, that this may be more a symptom of a mood thing than you know. And that may be why you're so intolerant and having a lot of irritability and stuff like that.
So what should I do? Because my therapist suggested like taking time for myself. And I do go, I go on a solo bike ride every evening, but I live near LAX, and every time I see the planes take off, I'm kind of like, what if anybody will notice? So I just get on a plane and don't come back.
Yeah.
Maybe nobody will care.
Right. So that's a mood thing.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I'm trying to.
And a lot of it is, we are all depressed right now. We are all depressed. We can't see the future. We can't do our normal activities. We are super stressed. What I would ask your therapist is, do you think I'm doing okay with this? Do I need to do some medication or anything? Or is there something more I need to be doing? Or is there something else that we're you know, that I'm still having a lot of symptoms that I might want to do? Just ask her.
Yep.
Like medication, like real medication, or like medication like
Christina's medication.
Girl.
Okay.
Girl, I took 10 milligrams of Lexapro. You got to get your Lexapro on. And
okay, so not like, you know, like marijuana or anything.
No, listen.
Why would we do something that has no scientific basis to it?
No, and you're going to get fatter and dumber smoking dope every night. And same with alcohol. You're going to get fatter and you're killing brain cells. Ask her to refer you to a psychiatrist and get some Lexapro,
well,
whatever.
If she feels you need it.
If she feels you need it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and take a fucking break. Isn't that the commercial or the thing? Parenting. You need to take a fucking break.
She's trying, but then she wants to go get on a plane.
I know.
I'm trying and I'm drowning and it's like...
You are.
You know, it's like everything and then...
I know, girl.
I know.
I can't do the fart jokes anymore. I can't be in a house full of boys. I can't do it. I don't like them.
I think that's...
She just said what we've all been dreading.
I think that may be more than... people that we've been doing it for an hour, we've been talking about how difficult men are. And if you're only around men, if you have three of them, oh my God, God bless you.
I don't know what to do. And then they all seem to understand each other's jokes. They're all laughing. And they're all happy all the time. And I don't know why.
Oh, girl. We have to understand, too, Rena is an extrovert, and she does a million things a day.
It sounds
Rena
like it.
Does not stay home. Yeah. So this is torture for her.
Yeah, I know.
So, all right.
Oh, it really is. Yeah. It really is.
I know, girl. We're almost out of the woods. Listen, things are starting to open. Anyway, I love you, and I hope you. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye,
Miss Reigns.
Nice to meet you.
Bye. Yeah, because I always feel bad for people.
Well,
that
it's
are
interesting how
doers.
People, but a lot of people miss symptoms of depression.
Oh,
because they're protean. They're not just I'm sad and I'm crying. They can be irritability. They can be lack of tolerance of things, lack of enjoyment in things that used to be enjoyable. And if that's going on and on and on, sometimes you want to break that with something.
Well, because I just did an episode of Ryan Sickler's show, The Honeydew. We talked about postpartum depression. Mm. And I was like, you know, when you're going insane, you don't really know it until
that's
you.
Right.
And he's like, no, I don't. Didn't you? And then he's like, didn't you ever read about the symptoms for postpartum? And I go, yeah, but.
It's generic.
It's like, are you anxious and depressed? Yeah, motherfucker. I've been anxious and depressed my whole fucking life because I'm a stand-up comic and I was goth. What do you think? Look at my stupid family. Yeah, I'm fucking anxious. So, I don't know. Anyways, I love you so much. I'm so glad you came to do this.
I feel better. See, this is always like a respite for me from COVID.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Let's go eat our feelings. What are we going to eat for lunch?
I don't know, but you guys make sure you do that every time I come.
I love it. I love it.
I ate a whole chicken one time when I came here.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm good, actually.
Okay. All right. I love you. Okay.
Love you, too.
Until next time.
Dr. Drew After Dark. Don't forget us on
that. That's right. That's right. Dr. Drew After Dark. Check out all our stuff. DrDrew.com.
Yeah, everything's there.
Your Mom's House podcast. It's all there. Everything's everywhere. All right. Until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye, meows.
Bye-bye.
Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at?